Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, there's dolphins over there.
Dan, no, they're actually aliens.
What?
You can Google it.
What is that from? Isn't there like some famous thing where they thought dolphins were aliens?
No, that I think this misguided woman.
Because I think she believes this.
No, she completely does. The way with
wow,
y'all, I wish everyone the conviction that this woman had when she told them to Google it, that dolphins were aliens. Let me tell you where this comes from.
It's some weird conspiracy. You talked about it on one of our shows, didn't you?
Maybe. I'm going to tell you where I think it comes from, because this is what I think, what I always think of.
Oh, no.
In Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, the original, when they went to San Francisco. Of course. Who else would I be?
Okay.
The original.
Sorry.
Christopher Pike.
Okay, sorry.
God.
I'm sorry.
Who else?
Y'all, this is below.
No.
By the way,
this is BDSM.
This is below deck sailing yacht.
And not Trekkie time.
Tension's high, patience low. Fuck it. Let's get into it. Okay, let me hear this.
That is the story of my life. Yep. Tension's high, patience low.
Season 3, episode 9.
So, in that film, there was a large spaceship, and it was making these strange noises, and it was coming towards Earth. How could you not have seen this movie?
I haven't seen
it. It was
a
huge budget movie. Huge everywhere. So
wasn't really in Star Trek.
They were trying to figure out what it was, and it was actually humpback whale calls. And so they had to get the hump, because the ship was coming to destroy, like, Earth.
The whales?
No, Earth. The ship!
Oh, okay.
I'm not explaining this well.
But the ship was making whale calls?
The alien ship. No, the alien ship was transmitting these things that sounded like whale calls.
Oh, okay.
And they found...
that kind of stuff. Okay.
Yes, yes. Humpback whale calls. And they got the whales to take in the ship, in the big basin... And they took it and made, and then they realized that the people were hearing a transmission sent a long time ago by humpback whales, and that was how they felt to communicate. But they were trying to destroy they were inadvertently destroying the planet.
And so
you don't care.
You think that no, I do care, because I think you think that woman saw that movie and now thinks dolphins are aliens.
Yes, she made about 4 circles in her mind.
Okay.
And maybe there's another theory, but that's where I went.
There's probably another theory for her.
Y'all, come at me if there's another dolphins or aliens, because that's what I went to.
Aren't dolphins actually have more in common with humans than we think?
They're very smart.
Well, they're mammals.
Yeah.
And they fuck for pleasure.
They masturbate.
They're one of the few mammals that do that.
This feels weird. To be talking about the animal kingdom.
I watched a when we were flying back on the Forever flight from Philly. I watched a documentary called Jane.
I saw you watching
Jane Goodall.
And I love Jane Goodall.
I do too. And I didn't know that she ended up marrying her, the cinematographer they met, the guy who filmed all of
her
stuff.
What's his name? Yeah.
She ended up marrying that guy.
And they had kids together.
And then they had a kid named Grub. Don't get me started on that name. But whatever.
Grub!
But they showed video of a lot. It's good, but it's very disturbing. It's like a one chimp who has polio and can't move his legs, and he's trying to crawl.
Aww.
And it's heartbreaking. But it also shows one female, you know, in chimpanzee society. I think gay men, especially maybe some sitting on the couch, are really evolution forward, I guess.
Yep.
In that chimpanzees, the female, you know, whenever she's ready to mate, her vagina kind of puffs out. It kind of looks like a gay guy's rosebud.
Yeah.
Who's been fucked too much.
Yeah.
But when she's in, she's in heat.
Yeah.
The chimps aren't fighting over who gets to fuck her.
Right.
Because they all fuck her. She lets every guy come inside of her.
Sounds like a good night.
I'm telling you, gay men are ahead of our
time. It's very equitable.
It is. Who knew that? Y'all fuck like a champ.
So then you don't know who the daddy is.
It's a guessing game.
And so everyone's raised by...
in a community, yes.
Y'all, next time you can't get pregnant... I highly encourage you to go to your neighborhood bar and just lazy Susan it.
Just lazy Susan.
Take all comers. Literally.
You done?
And then the entire bar will raise your baby.
And there you go. Learn from evolution.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, someone just tuned in for the first time thinking we're going to talk about Below Deck Sailing Yacht.
And I just gave them a solution for infertility problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Y'all, this is BDSM episode 9.
We don't have tour dates yet. We said we were, and as usual,
we're still waiting on
it's
like
not
two.
Our fault. We're waiting on theaters to confirm, but yeah, we don't. They're not ready yet.
It's a real y'all. There should be some kind of like nationwide alliance of venues, and people are like, "You could all use Live Nation." We don't want to do that. We don't want to be a monopoly.
We don't want a nationwide live together, because then it'll be like fucking radio. And
exactly.
Now there's no uniqueness in radio anymore.
Thank you.
Thanks, Clear Channel, a.k.a. iHeart, because you had to rebrand.
Oh, fucking
iHeart. Because
everybody
knew. Clear Channel's the same, y'all. They just rebranded because they knew everybody realized Clear Channel was fucking...
down with corporations. Except for Acast.
You can listen to Reality Gaze podcast on iHeartRadio. Or wherever you get your podcast.
If they came at us and offered us a deal, I would say no. You can take your money elsewhere.
What if they gave us $2 million?
That would give me pause. I'd have to think about it. I do still have my ethics, though, about big corporations and that. But I'd seriously think about it.
$2 million for a 5-year contract, $2 million every year. Yeah.
Yes. I'd sell my ethics for that. No one has that kind of ethical, no.
Only Oprah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
So let's talk about this show.
Let's talk about it.
I feel like these were very reasonable charter guests we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Even the vegan is absolutely lovely, and we expect this person to be choosy.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna go back on this, but I just want to start out here with the fact, my first teabag is that Marcos decided that he wasn't just going to give her all vegetable options. Like, they just didn't throw a veggie tray at her, and he just made his kind of food for everybody else. He intentionally said, I'm going to make fillets for everybody else, and yours is going to be a butternut squash fillet. And I'm also going to give other people vegan butter and vegan mashed potatoes so you can eat what everyone else is eating. That's genius.
You know, that's a big Ina Garten thing. She says, like, don't make something specifically for
yes!
just one person. Try to just make something for everyone.
Right. Other chefs haven't been so lucky with that when they have special dietary needs.
I mean, y'all, this is way jumping ahead, but as Marco says, he learned how to cook vegan in West Hollywood, which is probably the worst place in the world to learn, or the best place to learn to cook vegan.
Yes.
Because if he fucking worked at Crossroads, those people are, the people that at that restaurant are so unhappy.
Or M Cafe. Yeah.
They're very good, but you can just tell the servers are so unhappy from just people and their
people berating them.
Dietary restrictions. Asking.
And it's
every
not,
detail
and it's okay
them.
To be vegan. It's okay. We're not saying, we're not slandering all vegans, but there is, especially there's a Los Angeles peculiarity of diet where someone will just say, I'm vegan, but I don't eat anything with nuts. I eat everything except for fish caught this place and blah, blah, blah.
It's not just vegan here in L.A.
It's, no, it's everything.
People are, like, we always had one woman at the law office every time I did the holiday party. She had all these things, and, like, we all, this sounds terrible, because some people are, you know, celiac disease, so they can't have gluten and all this kind of stuff. But it was one of those people, like, she can't eat all this because her CrossFit trainer told her she was allergic.
Stop.
No, her CrossFit trainer told her she was allergic to it. And I went, well, he's not a doctor.
Right.
But she's like, no, he said the way my body, this is, so she
He looked in my eyes.
Yeah, so she couldn't have carbs.
Her CrossFit trainer.
Couldn't have carbs. She couldn't have dairy.
What a fucking idiot.
She couldn't have sugars. It was like...
Entire gamut of sugar.
Just like such a rigmarole of what we... And she always at the holiday party sent her food back and they had to make something else for this catering.
No, here's what you say. Can you eat before you come? Simple.
No, she won't because she needed to be included. She got fired.
Thank God.
Anyway.
The thing, what I just want to say is,
I liked her as a person, though. We had fun.
You can have dietary needs. This woman was so, she's like, I'm so grateful. And I was like, that's so great to hear.
Well, because, in the same way, I feel, you know, we have friends that are vegan and veggie, and even still, they're, even if somebody's not trying to make a big deal, they're made to feel othered.
Yeah.
Because chefs either just give them a fucking salad or
right.
whatever. And so he just went around about it the right way. Marcos had a good episode this episode.
Yeah, he did.
He really did.
Where they give you, like, here, have this. Oh, never mind. Have this,
Dick
like,
cake.
No. I just, when I see lots of texts, I get nervous.
Oh.
That something's happened.
You know what? I do that too.
Yeah.
We should probably process that.
Yeah, I think so.
Thanks, moms.
I think that's the way the world works now.
I know, but you're right. I see, because even just you saying it made my chest tighten.
Yeah.
And I heard my mother's voice. Did something happen?
No, rarely does that happen, but when I see lots of text in succession, it makes me nervous.
What if somebody had good news to share?
Still.
Hey, boy, giving you good news.
Hey, man. Anyway, that's my first teabag. I'm going to be going back a little bit earlier, but what's your first one?
I just want to say slamming your fucking finger in a door is one of the most
so painful
things. And if some people are like, Gary was acting like a baby.
He was
and I'm
not.
Like, he was not.
He was underselling it, if you ask me.
It is. It's just throbbing. And then when we saw his finger and how bad it looked.
The noises you make when you slam your finger in a door, which I've done several times as a piano player, of course.
Of course.
The noises you make are irrational.
Yes.
And not of this earth. You're like.
You're like a whale.
Yeah. Chanda. She was a woman.
You just speak a
different
language.
You speak in tongues.
It's beyond painful. So,
I thought that was completely reasonable.
I was cringing watching all of this. And even, it's kind of piggybacking on this. But even later when we see Colin actually
stick a needle through. Now, let me tell you.
It pierced his fingernail.
I grew up country, so I've actually seen that happen when someone slammed their. I've heard of that before.
I've heard of it. I never had seen anyone do it.
I once saw it at summer camp. And a counselor did it. Now, it should have been a nurse.
It makes my butthole tingle.
It should have been a nurse, but I think the nurse wasn't there that day.
Hey, as someone who used to run a summer camp, I get that.
And then the kid had dropped like a rock, or they were trying to pull up a big rock, and they dropped the rock, and it fell on his finger. And this was a very spoiled child from the middle of the state.
Some guy named
Lexington and
Chauncey.
Yeah, something like that. He had lots of money. And he was acting. Now, it dropped on. He was crying his eyes out.
Oh, yeah.
He was probably 10 or 11. So, but he was just going, and it wasn't as bad as the other one. But the next day, the counselor at a table, we were all watching, heated up a needle, and they held his hand down. They poked it through. Blood literally spurted.
Was he screaming? It
was like we were murdering him. And then he went, oh, it feels a lot better.
Yeah, because it's the pressure of that. So, because Gary immediately felt better.
And the nurse is like, good job.
Y'all, camp nurses, usually the good ones, as I know that y'all, I think some of you knew that I co-started a summer camp called Brave Trails years ago. I'm just a volunteer.
Co-founded.
Now. Co-founded, yes.
Co-started.
The biggest deal was finding the fucking nurse.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes or breaks your summer, because if you have a persnickety or not, or a nurse who is not used to roughing it,
yeah,
you're fucked. But if you have a nurse who's used to camp, it was like Nurse Beth at the camp we taught at.
Drip drop. Don't wear flip flops.
Don't wear flip flops.
Because, yo, this woman hated flip flops in the rain, mostly because every time it happened, a girl would break her ankle.
And so Nurse Beth goes,
there's another one.
There's another one. Literally, there was like one summer where like eight girls were out on crutches because of flip flops. But.
And they were Jewish girls from New York City, so already they're uncoordinated.
Yeah. She could deliver a baby in the middle of a hay cart driving down the mountain, because she was just toughing it.
She could put an EpiPen into a bucking bronco.
Oh, she sure could. Where some nurse from New York City, never.
New York City!
Get a rope.
God bless camp nurses.
So what's your... Okay, that's yours. I just want to say my next one is the smash cut from the editing. None of these guests had any idea about the finger or what just happened. And Gary's going, rah, 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 speaking in tongues. Oh, my God. Rah, rah. And the same thing, the smash cut of Ashley or Gabrielle says, do you want something to drink? And the guest goes, do you have iced tea by chance?
Love that.
And one girl's like, I'll have something with bubbles. Just in the smash cut is so beautiful.
And Gary is literally wanting
the
to cut
ultimate
off his...
in upstairs, downstairs.
Yes. And that is when Gabriella starts talking about she's exhausted, and she says she's worse. We get it now. She says,
I did not want this for her. We thought it might happen.
It's true. And she said, I'm disappointed in my behavior, which means, y'all, she feels shame.
Ugh.
Which she, that is not a good thing for Gabriella to admit to.
And I will say, we'll talk about this
Carlos
a little bit more.
Was the worst person for her to talk to about it, too.
What is she thinking?
I'm sorry.
Going to a chef for comfort?
Going to a Latinx chef. So culture-wise...
Who you've already had a run-in with.
So, yes, you've had a run-in with them. They're the chef. And culture-wise, this machismo... They're not going to... What all Gabriella needs is what she got from Kelsey. She just needed to talk to someone and say... Oh, because she told Marco, she said, I'm exhausted and I'm disappointed in my behavior. And Carlos immediately says, well, you can control that. The most not helpful thing.
When someone comes to you and tells you your feelings, this is a thing for all men who are listening, all eight of you.
Poodle's about to save your marriage. Listen up.
Men, do not immediately offer solutions when your wife says, is offering problems. She just really wants your... If she wants solutions, she will actually say, what do you think I should do?
Yes. If your wife is bitching about Janice in the carpool that doesn't fucking pull her weight and never takes the kids like she should because she's always...
And just gives your kids...
Because she's selling fucking another Tupperware party and you're having to lug her kids. Don't try to say, well, we'll get someone else. Just say...
That sucks. She's a bitch.
Janice is a bitch, and that sucks, honey.
Yeah.
And your wife will
be sorry
happy.
You're having to deal with that.
She'll probably cry, give you a hug, and then she'll suck your dick.
I don't want to set up a... I don't want to set up an exchange listening for dick.
Maybe that's what I would do.
Yeah.
I'm going to usually suck your dick.
I'm going to take that away off the table. But I was just going to say, he does not know how to listen. That's not his skill set.
No, and it makes her feel worse.
The interesting thing is what she is doing, unfortunately, is she's going to everyone on the boat she knows that she thinks doesn't like her.
Yeah.
Because that's the most important thing for Gabrielle, unfortunately.
Yes, and it's not passive aggressive. It's just passive.
Yeah.
If she had said to Carlos, she doesn't want to say she's sorry. She said, I'm disappointed in my behavior. What if she had said to Carlos, you know what? I'm sorry to you for my behavior.
Everything would have changed.
Carlos would have said, apology accepted. Let's move on. Da-da. But she wants, it's like she's trying to dance around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And wants him to come out and say, I'm sorry first, or it's, the peace offering.
It is so frustrating seeing someone self-sabotage who's really good at their job, you guys. But it just tells you this is the shambles that she has inside of how she feels about herself and how they are related to her performance.
Yeah.
That is the foundation of perfectionism.
We're going to talk about this later.
Oh, this made me so sad, but this is something we thought might happen, and I was worried about it happening.
Yeah, you said it. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what's your next one? Or was that mine? Or was that yours?
I'll do one, and then we'll take a break. So Captain Glenn, okay, because Gary's down with his finger. Captain Glenn totally jumps in, and he's helping the deck. They want to go on a beach. He's helping them getting down to a boat, and I thought, poodle. If a crew member had hurt their finger and the ship and the guests wanted to go on a last-minute excursion, what would Captain Sandy do?
Just say, if Malia had hurt her finger.
Malia
had
hurt her finger.
Lexi, can you go with the guests? I understand you don't have any way to pilot a vessel, but it's easy. You'll get the hang of it. No, she would not do that.
That's exactly what she would have had. Somebody else who was ill-equipped to do it.
And then she would have gone like, Malia, look what you did. Lexi had to do that.
And then when someone said, but Captain Sandy, you're a leader. Why did you not lead her? Why did you tell Lexi to go guide the boat?
I will not accept that, because Malia should have provided for that.
But you didn't lead her ship.
I was too busy leading by example.
Ah.
I was too busy leading by example.
Okay.
I think I came up with that term. Leading by example.
Captain Sandy, you did. Okay. I was just making sure that there wasn't...
I need to go watch McMillan and Wife.
Yeah, I didn't... I kind of was making sure there wasn't a Rizzoli and Isles marathon on.
To go and watch Falcon Crest.
We should take a break. All right. So we'll see you in a second.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See,
Now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long, but yes, they are so soft, and the more you wash them, the softer they get, and they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in Me Undies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with Me Undies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, Me Undies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And Me Undies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, Me Undies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of Me Undies? It's on Me Undies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at Me Undies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. Me Undies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song, To All Our Queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is
is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
I want to talk about, and I understand, and I think Gabrielle probably would have, she would have maybe had some of these thoughts without Ashley. But yes. I think Ashley still lit her feelings on fire.
Yes.
And stomped on them.
Yes.
And not in a way of that was very direct, but just from being passive aggressive and mean girling her
mm-hmm.
into feeling bad about herself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just, that is so, it's a fatal wound for Gabrielle.
She really puts on this front of, I'm this badass bitch, I'm nothing bothers me, I do what yeah. I want, but it's all this, let me roar so you don't see my insecurity,
right.
Cuz I'm the cowardly lion.
And that's
not cowardly. I don't want to use, she's not a coward, but she's yeah. compensating.
But she says, like, to Ashley, she's like, I don't think I'll need you. And she's like, no worries, it's fine. And you can tell it's just so dismissive. And y'all, and Ashley would say, you know, I'm just saying what I need to. I don't need to engage more. What you don't realize is you're being mean, you're being nasty, and anyone can pick it up.
Oh.
And it's interesting.
You think Ashley doesn't realize she's being mean and nasty? I think she does.
No, I think she does, but I'm saying she's never going far enough to...
Oh, no, Ashley knows what she's doing.
Yeah, but you notice she'll never do it around Daisy.
No, she won't.
Yeah.
And she's doing just enough so that way, this is what she wants. She wants Gabby to leave.
Yeah. Y'all, this is another
thing.
They
have to get another stew, and then guess who's the new second stew?
Yep. I promise you, people like Ashley are dangerous people to work with.
Oh.
They will always throw you under the bus first, as we saw.
Yeah, as we saw. Because here's the deal. Why Ashley is more dangerous than Gabrielle, I think Gabrielle, this sounds terrible, but I mean it this way. I think Gabrielle's a good person.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think, I think Ashley is a very, not a bad person, but she's a very...
She's self-involved.
Self-involved and not empathetic at all.
No, she lacks that.
And Gabrielle is actually quite sensitive.
And it's actually easy to manipulate Gabriella.
Yes.
And you just have to manipulate her with, please like me.
Yeah, it's easy to manipulate Gabriella because Gabriella has a sense of ethics and yeah. a moral code.
And
Ashley doesn't have
no,
one.
No.
Ashley has one moral code. To get dick! On that dick!
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 I can understand it.
I think that was yours. My next one is... So they're all talking about all the girls want to fuck Gary and all this. And do you see just Marcos. Marcos is lying in the bed. And he's talking to Colin in his bed. They're just kind of having boy talk.
Oh, I love a good boy talk.
You see how Marcos is kind of laying there with his legs spread?
Yep.
And he's just inadvertently touching his crotch.
Yes, you can
see. Like in a soothing way.
You can see his groinal mound.
Yeah. I was about to go into a secret scene.
Groinal is an adjective.
You just completely ruined it with the phrase groinal mound. That is one of the
pubic
most...
Pubic mound. Is that better?
That is so disgusting that you completely killed my boner. What's your next D-bag?
Boners. Are we on the ultimatum? Everything is boner talk. He had a boner. All of a sudden, we're in fucking second grade.
Because they're 22.
He was cuddling in me, and he got a boner.
What do you call it? A hard-on?
No, I'm just saying.
Stiffy.
Talking about it in a way that is controversial and saying, and he got a boner.
What are your euphemisms for an erect penis, y'all? Come at us.
No, it is.
I know, but I like what, I think all right. funny names for, all euphemisms for an erect penis is very funny to
yeah.
me.
I don't know a ton of them. Hard on.
Hard on, stiffy.
Captain boner. At attention.
Captain at attention. Hard cock.
I don't think that's a euphemism.
It's not really. That's pretty direct.
Yeah.
I don't really know a lot of euphemisms for a boner.
Stiffy. Come
at us.
There's not a ton. There should be. There's a lot for dicks.
There's a lot for
and
dicks.
And for vaginas.
And vaginas and assholes.
Yeah. Maybe people think of it as too forbidden.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Leaky spear. I just made that one up.
Gross. That doesn't have any bearing in reality.
Well, like, I don't know.
Like, that's not an expression.
Mm-mm.
So my next one.
Hole plunger.
Again.
Doesn't really.
No. Please, I'm asking you to stop.
King Arthur's sword.
No. Please, really. You're embarrassing yourself.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Yeah. You can keep thinking about it, but don't say the ones that are bad, because you know those.
All right.
Okay.
Zeus's javelin.
Zeus never had a javelin.
Okay, well.
Again. I'm asking you to stop because it's not good comedy.
I just don't. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So, y'all, I just want to say one way. My next one is, this is how you handle a problem.
How to handle a woman. There's a way, said the wise old man.
I wonder how that dates.
Camelot.
No, I wonder how that song. I
Yeah. Well, it does end with
is to love her, love her, love her.
It was intended when the piece was written in the 60s. It was intended to be this chauvinist singing a song about handling a woman, and then it turns and then at the end.
I don't know that show very much at all.
It is a very, this is Camelot we're talking about, obviously. It is a very long book show. However, it is being re-edited. I saw it at Pasadena Playhouse about 10 years ago.
I've never seen it.
Pared down. It's a very long show. The score is great.
Did they make a film? I'm sure they did.
Yeah, Richard Burton.
Oh, Richard Burton's in the film. Yeah. I've never seen it. Is it good?
You know, it's been a long time since I've seen it.
Well,
I don't know.
Camelot
can be kind of deadly. I've seen it more times than I should have.
Okay.
I've only seen it one good production that they did in Pasadena, because they pared it down, and I think they only had like four or five characters.
Julie Andrews was in the original. Right?
Original.
Yeah.
Richard Burton, Julie Andrews. Don't know if she was in the film. Maybe she was.
I don't think so.
We're a far afield. Where was I? Oh. How to handle conflict. That's what I was saying. Because, you know, Gary and Daisy fought about that, like getting a coffee. And
yes.
Gary said, Gary tries gets the guests a coffee, and he kind of just and Daisy says, "Oh, I'll do it. Wouldn't want the deck crew to suffer." And they both laugh about it. And you can tell that neither one of them has any animosity about it. It's now a joke.
It's now a joke.
I think that's great leadership, is to be able to do that.
Well, it's that they can handle it. And because they did talk it out. They talked
right.
it out.
And it was a blow up, though.
Because when you're a true leader, by the way, it was Vanessa Redgrave.
Thank you.
When you, to be a true leader, you have to not take things personally.
Yeah.
And Gary and Daisy,
They're
good at it. It's one reason why they maybe will fuck one day, but they will never be a good couple because they'll never feel like somebody would take the relationship seriously.
Right. What's your next teabag?
My next teabag is, let me just scroll down here and just see. So, speaking of Daisy, some things I don't love that Daisy does as a leader, but other things she does, she's so good about, because she, you can tell that she's done this for a while.
Yeah.
Is when Ashley calls.
She's like 36. Yeah, so she's been in
Ashley
this a while.
Ashley calls Daisy, and Ashley thinks she's going to have this moment of, well, you know, I'm just frustrated. Ashley tries, instead of being, because she's trying to say that she's, you know, Gabriella, it's just hard for me to deal with her because, you know, she keeps saying, I don't really want to say, you know, she keeps saying she really wants to quit and that she's frustrated. I'm like, I don't know how to deal with her. And I'm just trying
I didn't want to tell you, but like, I kind of felt like I needed to tell you.
When it's Gabriella, so Gabriella told Ashley not to tell Daisy.
Yes, she asked her.
Do you think Gabriella knew this would happen all along? Or was she in a moment?
No. She has a naivete about things
I
like that.
I think she was that naive as
y'all,
well.
The problem is
Daisy sees right through it.
Y'all, Gabriella wants people to like her so badly.
She does.
And that blinds her to all of the foxes who are around her.
And she will get taken down. And Daisy even says, well, lots going on. She's like, I'm trusting you, and I hope you tell the truth. And then she says in her testimonial, Daisy says, yeah, I'm not fucking stupid. I can see right through this.
And then she was like, would you want a Reese cup? Oh, I just screamed.
Oh, y'all, no. Ashley, you got the wrong bitch. Wrong bitch. Sorry. Not today.
To follow up on that, we never talk about this member of the deck crew, but Kelsey had a talk with Gabriella, and she said, well, you know, there's a level of coexisting with everybody, because they're talking about, she's like, so we wear so many hats on this boat, and we just have to really pitch in and do what we can for each other. And I went, where did you come up with that wisdom?
Where did you come from, Y-Sage? Just out there singing on the deck?
I'm really thankful that she's there and there's no dramatic person. In fact, I'm really hoping this next deck crew, for us to talk about, I'm hoping they're cuckoo. But for the sake of the boat and the charter, the rest of the charter season, I hope it's easy for them.
I was just telling Poodle, these have been okay episodes, but there hasn't been like there's not any theater moments or anything. I want this person to just be
fucking, a nightmare.
I hope it's Satan's talking to him the same like Lexi. I just want a nightmare just to make it fun.
I hope it's an old pirate who has a macaw on their shoulder.
Yeah, exactly.
With a peg leg.
Yeah.
I never seen a squall like this one.
Yes. We didn't have fenders in my days. We had captains who steered the ship ashore.
Ashley, your breasts are as perky as the Seychelles.
Colin, you're as pretty as a maid in the moonlight.
If you served me some grog, I'd smack you in the mouth. And the bird goes, pussies, all of you pussies. Go, go, go. Go.
You almost made me spit up my water. It's not what's that liquid IV, which I enjoy, but it's orange. It almost went up my nose.
I think I would give anything if that bird just said horrific, like foul language. And the bird would go, cock, cock, cock. And they would go, beep, every time the bird
spoke. That'd be great. That'd be great. That's what they should do if they redid Aladdin. They should do that, but they've already done
it. We need...
Rest in peace, Gilbert Godfrey.
We need Jeffrey Rush in Pirates of the Caribbean.
We do.
As a ghost. And that monkey. God, that would make the season so much better.
How many of those movies did they make?
I stopped counting.
The first one was really good.
I saw the third one on a plane. And then I haven't watched any of the others.
I don't know how many there are.
There has to be like five of them. But the first one was so good.
Oh, it was.
And Orlando Bloom was so hot. And Keira Knightley, when she was just swashbuckling.
I forgot Keira Knightley was in that.
Oh, she can do no wrong.
I think the movies got less good when Keira Knightley wasn't in them. I don't think she was in the third one.
Was Orlando Bloom in them all?
He kind of was. They made them all about Johnny Depp's character. And the thing is, you got to be careful when someone's a character actor and then they become the lead role.
Right.
It's like... While I liked Tim Conway never had a leading show because Carol Burnett always did. It's like him and Harvey Korman aren't going to have their own show. No one gets this reference.
I do, but even I feel a little.
I just lost a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people. I was born in the wrong time.
There's a Carl's wife who's going, I knew I loved that. I met Tim Conway. I had a crush on him.
Where Poodle talked about he should have been born like in the 20s or like in royalty.
The 1820s.
I think for me, my decade, y'all come at us. What decade should you, what time should you have been born
in? You should have been born in the
60s.
You should have been born in the 40s. So you should have, because you've been 20 in the 60s.
Yes, born in the 40s. But yes. I needed to be in my 20s and 30s for 60s and 70s. That was I would have flourished.
And you would not have been a hippie or a counterculture at all.
No, I would have been, I think I would have been very famous, a very famous actor, because there were so many gay actors who were famous but not gay.
You would have been like Charles Nelson Reilly.
Yeah, not a Rock Hudson gay. Charles Nelson Reilly.
A gay clown.
The guy that did Madam, whatever his name
Waylon
was.
Waylon Flowers.
I would have been all of those, and then and I probably would have died in the 80s.
That's what I was going to say. Of AIDS. Let's be honest.
Yeah, that's what happened. It is
a generation. I'm laughing because it's uncomfortable.
There's a great Instagram. I think it's just called the AIDS Memorial, but it's great because it reminds you of these
wiped
people.
Wiped out.
And it tells us, but we lost so many artists.
Yep.
Like, truly these amazing, talented artists just gone.
And as many artists and people, just people from all over, all walks of life.
Yes, yes.
Millions of people.
Anyway, what's your last tea bag?
Wow. I want to talk about Captain Glenn's sail boner. He is just like, I got to go sail. Daisy, we gotta get them the dock. He has this weird, I don't know where he's from. I need to look it up. But there's a regional thing that he has certain words. He might be Canadian.
Oh, he's got to be Canadian. He's so nice.
But there's a certain way he says words, like the dock, and like just a certain thing that I find interesting. Or maybe he's picked it up just maritime talk.
I don't know where he's
from. Maritime law says you can't have Xanax on a boat. Hannah. Maritime law.
I haven't seen that episode.
It's Captain Sandy.
It doesn't say.
Who cares?
Doesn't say. Bravo has the worst fucking bio for him ever. Like, literally, they just they don't care.
That was their first slogan. We don't care.
That should be. So that is,
instead of watch what happens.
We don't care. So, y'all, my last teabag, I don't know if you have another, but my last one's a Daisy and Gabriella conversation.
No, I just had that with him saying, he was like, we can't not sail. It's a sailboat.
It's a sailboat.
It doesn't matter if nothing's put away. I'm going to sail this boat, and I'm going to fuck the steering wheel.
And he's kind of like, keeps asking Daisy, Daisy, are you ready? And she's like, yeah. And, I mean, I'd like 30 minutes. It's like, I'll give you 10. And then at like 5 minutes, he's like, just kidding, you ready now? And
we're finally,
Daisy's just like, sure.
That's like me trying to open presents for my mother, and it's like 5:45. Can we open presents now, Mom? Jaybird, come! I need to drink my coffee. 30 seconds later, can we open presents? I told you 6 a.m. Do not get up before then. Is Dad awake? No.
Wow.
Jaybird, Santa had a really hard time putting together that Castle Grayskull, so we're never doing that again. He told me as he left.
Oh.
You're never getting another Castle Grayskull. You're going to get some more Shrinky Dinks, because I know you like things that are artistic.
Poor Mother Poodle. Just having Christmas.
I need a nap.
So, y'all, I mean, my last one's just Daisy. Gabriella has this conversation with Daisy, and she says, I feel like I've lost your trust. And Daisy says everything right to Gabriella.
Yep.
You're great, Stu. You have great energy when you show up with good energy. She said, you just need to want to be here. And Daisy says, don't let things consume you like this, because
right.
This is the result of Gabriella said, this is the result. So the thing is, she talks to her, but what we see from next episode is...
she can't get out of this storm she's in.
It's going to be... ironically, it's Marcos who will be her downfall.
Yeah.
Because, you know, unless maybe you're Chief Stew or maybe Chief Deckhand, you're not going to win against a chef.
No, you're not.
Especially a chef who's killing it and making it. And also, again, I just want to say, like, not that he's an unreasonable man, but it's just... it's not going to be in Marcos's nature to deal with your passivity.
Right.
If she wants an apology, she needs to be assertive about
right.
that.
Right. She wants so badly because she's had, when she's tried to defend someone when she was having a bad day, so she lashed out. And she tried to apologize to him, but it was awkward and not good.
No, it was.
And.
Yeah.
And she and you can't build comedy, not comedy, comedy. You can't build a sense of community with someone when they feel that you have haven't made something right. And it's interesting. I think she's got a lot of demons, unfortunately.
So next week she's talking to Captain Glenn. Do you think she's quitting?
He might try to convince her not to.
That's what I think is going to happen.
But they've got three more charters. She's going to see that as pretty daunting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe she'll stay at the new deck crew's hot.
I don't know. This was the worst. This was the last thing I wanted for her, but we worried.
It was. I feel like Tyra. It's like with Tyler and the Reigns. We were rooting for you, Gabriella. We were rooting for you.
Yo, that's the show.
That's the show. That's Blue Dick Sailing Yacht, everybody. Go to realitygates.com to find everything that you need to find out about us. Go to our Instagram, Reality Gates Podcast. That's where we will be That will be our first jumping off point of when we schedule new live shows for you to get tickets to. Coming soon.
We promise. Just like y'all, our poor booking person.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but... that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Just
doing her best. Just
waiting for these
God
fucking
bless
venues.
And she's doing her fucking best. But you know, there's some guy named Earl in a theater who's just gonna call her back when he has time.
Well, it's not even that. They just don't care.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
But anyway.
That's fine.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time. Have a great week. And until then,
anchors again.